Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PD. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, peace, power, and love as usual, and greetings. Want to give a shout out to Throwboy Mike, the one who was nice enough to let me borrow his song that you hear every week. Want to give a condolence to him and his brothers, which are all like my brothers, his sisters, on their loss. And I just want to ask that the family, the listening family, say a prayer wherever you may happen to be. I say I grew up with this family, and they are suffering a loss, going through a loss right now. And just wanted to take time to do that in the beginning of this show. Also, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I want to thank all my listeners and my listening family on Activate Radio, ActivateMedia.org as well, who replays this show on Fridays. Thanks again for listening. This is going to be one of those opinionated, but also at the same time factual shows. I really said this is something I would never do on this particular platform. But in the midst of what we're going through, I thought I would touch on it. Anybody that is listening online that would like to call in, I feel like this is a touchy, this is a touchy subject. But anybody that's listening online that might want to jump in, call in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that number is 914-205-5538. And another disclaimer is that, like I said in the beginning, this is going to be a factual but yet opinionated show, as usual. So these views that I'm expressing does not reflect the group as a whole, the organization as a whole. And I want to just start out by explaining why I'm going to do what I'm doing, because I feel like sometimes we are so led astray. You know, there are certain things that, let's just say, for instance, you know, you, as you are born and you get older, there are certain things that you have to learn how to do, or you will have to have assistance. Just, this is an example. If, oh, and forgive the background noise, I am about 15 minutes away from pulling over, but, you know, normal, it's normal, I'm on the move. But just for example, you know, when you're a kid, you really don't know anything, but then there comes a time when you eventually learn how to tie your shoe. And you, because if you do not learn how to tie your shoe, you will forever need somebody with you to tie your shoe, or that are either wear slip-ons and sandals your whole life. But anyway, nonetheless, you get my point. And there are so many things that we need like that in life in order to just not be dependent on somebody tying your dang shoe, you know. And I think we all learn at a pretty young age, you know, how to tie our shoes, you know, so that we don't have to ask the teacher or ask one of our friends, hey, can you tie my shoe? You know, we learn how to do that so that when we look down and it's untied, we are dependent. We're no longer dependent on someone tying it, you know. So with that being said, I want to get off into my subject and what I want to discuss. And just imagine, though, you know, you're in the fifth grade and your shoe's untied and you can't tie it. And in the fifth grade, kids are not as selfless as they were in grade school, and not as apt to say, oh, hey, hold on, I got you. Because by the fifth grade, you should know how to tie your shoe with your eyes closed. Just my analogy of what I want to talk about in my subject matter, which is, like I say, something that's touchy, controversial, and something I said I wouldn't touch on, but like I say, in the midst of what's going on and so many things that we need to get out of the habit of doing. And like I say, problem one with me is this Christianity, you know, the false religion that is so followed by America and rearranged by America, created, of course, by the Emperor Constantine, and I'll get into that briefly. But, you know, just how they have been able to use it to control us. And then they've never considered abiding by it themselves, you know. And like I was saying, you know, from the Council of Nicaea and its false origins up until modern times right now. And why we never needed that white Jesus, yeah, I said that, what I said, or the other white lies, because that's what we were fed, and why we should and must disconnect, in my opinion, and reconnect with our true spirituality. So this is going to be one of those subjects that if you are a Jesus, I'm really, we'll probably never connect again on that level. Because, and I'll say this, because a lot of people don't know about the Council of Nicaea, and a lot of people, and I want to also say this before I get really off into this, is that I truly do believe in a high power, a creator of it all, a master of it all, you know, who put those of us he put here first for a reason, and that we are truly connected to him and have never needed any religion except for to control us spiritually as well as mentally and physically. And we still allow that now. And we still pray to this creation of the Council of Nicaea. And this is this Christianity that they stole, like they do everything else. And first of all, there was one man, and I'm not going to get real deep, but Arius, who was fighting against the creation of Christianity because it was thievery and white lies. And Emperor Constantine, in 325 A.D., I believe it was, called all the bishops of the land, and they had a big meeting, the Council of Nicaea, where they created the rules and regulations of Christianity. They also were responsible for creating the images, and most of the images that we still see to this very day, to support the game and the white lie that they were creating to give them, the Roman Catholics, the power. They had to create a deity that looked like them, and that is why you see now in Egypt, Kemet, where they are whitewashing the walls to look more like a tan, cream-colored people. But know that those are our people, our ancestors. We are connected to the source, and that's why I say we never needed a religion. Religion is what the Roman Catholics created at the Council of Nicaea. Like I say, the image with Caesar Borgia, the image of the Last Supper, which were prison inmates, jailed inmates at the time and day that were used to create that image that we still see to this very day. And those were images and stories that were rearranged and changed in order to support their lifestyle, their lie that they were building. And not only that, in order to have a stronghold on religion. Arius was fighting against this. And, of course, being a brown man from Libya, just do your research on that, he was exiled. And about 10 or 11 years after the passing of that religious Christianity, Jesus creation, and at that particular time, it was not Jesus because the letter J didn't exist, but nonetheless, the creation of Christianity as we know it now was created and then only perpetuated as time moved on, and especially during the years of slavery, and knowing that there were so many books removed from the Bible that the slaves were allowed to have and study and preach and teach. And if a slave was caught with a complete Bible, he was probably whooped to death, hung, burned, done how they did things. And this is the whole premise as well with Christianity, because white people have never followed those in power and allowed the privilege of power, have never followed any type of righteous religion, because how can you claim a religion and then claim to be the direct connection to said religion and raise hell all across the planet, everywhere that you go, even dating back to the Roman Catholic days of Emperor Constantine. And he was a vicious, one-sided, one world order orientated ruler, much like the rich and elite that financially run the planet now, who control what happens globally, dictate globally because of the money and power that they possess. The Bill Gates and, you know, the George Soros's the so on, so on, so on. We all pretty much know who they are now and what they worship. And this white Jesus that we keep praying to is a creation of the Council of Nicaea in order to have a world stronghold on society religiously through said Christianity. And it worked. And they were able to exile the brown-skinned brother from Libya who was really promoting his own religion, but more from the original and leaving it more on the original text as opposed to creating the new images and changing words and just doing things that promoted self upliftment as opposed to a religion and a righteous, fair religion at that. And it's funny because even way back then in 325 AD, when I was, you know, skimming over some notes and stuff, and this Emperor Constantine, Roman Catholic, and you look at the mess the Roman Catholic Church is in to this day. I mean, right now, you've got the Pope apologizing up in Canada for crimes committed against indigenous people. Look, people who look like them like to be in power and control. For the most part, you know, not all are into the greed and the violence, but they love the control, the privilege factor, and they're not going to give that up for any type of just being fair and getting a pat on the back. They're never going to share power. They're never going to be fair, righteous, or just if it goes against them being in power. Because in their world, power is more important than anything. Power and control, greed, just like the devil. Because in the devil's world, he don't got no love for nobody that love him. He don't even got no love for himself. So, and I said this, ignore my GPS. I'm sorry. I meant to mute that. But that is why I say this whole religion and control with the Jesus, the Christianity, creation of all the things that they created in order to have control of the masses. And like I say, it worked because it's still working to this day. And we unfortunately are victim of it because we are just by nature a spiritually grounded people, a people who are going to we're going to stay grounded in belief of a higher power, something higher than ourselves, guiding us. We are just a more compassionate people. We are a more empathetic people. we show and do all of these things for everybody except for us. You know, we show all these characteristics and these traits, and then not only that, we perpetuate a religion which is supposed to be righteous, just, equal, fair for all people, but we perpetuate a religion that it is not only not that, but is not inclusive of us. You know, if they had it their way, we would still not know the truth and still be fed the white lies, the exclusion of our inclusion, in the world. And that's just really, that's the whole premise of their existence, to erase ours, erase our existence from being. And we, like I've said several times, get together because we are promoting unity. We are trying to promote working together. We're trying to come together so that we can have some sort of resemblance of peace, and we do all the righteous things. We go overboard still to this day, praying to the illusion that they created. And I say that because we need to get back reconnected to us and doing things how we did it. And there are so many avenues that we can research and tap into. And not only that, just linking up with like-minded individuals. There are so many ways, and like I say, we when the Most High put us here first, he didn't give us a religion. He told us to obey, told us to appreciate things, and that's something that we as a people did. And now you see the disappreciation, the non-appreciation, of where you live and what you're responsible for, and not taking accountability. And that's something that the Caucasian race has never really been able to do. It's never taken accountability for any of its evils. And that's why I will say American society and those like it who are oppressive against others just because they can be, continue to suffer and will continue to suffer. Arrogance and inability to atone, even back in the days of Constantine when he was creating what he considered to be fair and just in religion, not what was actually fair and just, and that's the thing, because religion should not be impartial to anyone. It should be, if anything, it should always be inclusive of everyone. And see, that's why religion doesn't work, because religion is, even back then, wasn't inclusive, because it wanted to quiet Arius, the brother from Libya. Do your research. But Constantine wanted to quiet him because, for one, Arius had the truth. And like I say, same story, pretty much same belief, except for the Roman Catholics changed and made images to resemble them so that they could be praised worldwide as the chosen ones, which is far from the truth. And, you know, Arius going against the grain, and then the thing that also happened with Arius is, just like in most and all cases, whenever it get a little hot in the kitchen, people start jumping out. People start, you know, well, no, I can't do that one. But, you know, that's what usually happens when, like I say, a little bit of heat, you know, when the burners start getting hot, the water start boiling a little bit, people tend to shy away from the original concept and the first thought process that they had in the beginning. And that's why I say, you know, with religion, it's always been about control, control, and especially used to the advantage of white supremacy, racism, to control the slaves and those who were under their care and control, you know, or should I say under their whip and chain. That may be an even better analogy. But even back then, they allowed us to worship. See, because when we were first brought here, they noticed how much we did get on our knees and bow down and would be looking up, praying to our Creator and waiting on Him to replenish our spirits enough to fight back. And see, that's why I say, too, we need to reconnect with what we accustomed to, because we have been beaten down so much spiritually and mentally and physically that we just automatically feel, as my sister Kia says and said in her correction of me, that I totally understood and appreciated, we've got to stop feeling defeated. And I was speaking with my queen earlier, and like I told her, we are far from defeated. We haven't even gotten in the ring and, you know, landed a punch. And that is because of these westernized ways that we were given, that we still feel like for some reason we have to remain connected to. Because here is another thing. We have always, and well, not always, but we now have the ability to control what and how we do things. But yet and still, instead of us creating our own new, which we are so capable of doing, because we've given this world culture, not just this country, everywhere we go, and that we have been, we have left culture. We have left people more educated than before we came, than before we arrived on the scene. So that is another reason why we were put here first, because the Most High knew what he had in us, like I said earlier, the teachers, the lawyers, the all of that, the mathematicians, the scientists, the astrologists, all of that was in us. Without all of the special high-powered mechanisms and technology that the world has today to make things so much simpler. That is because of our direct connection to the source, to the creator, to the Most High. And you can never discount that. That is why we have been here almost longer than time itself. Because in us, the creator knew what he had, a resilient people, an obedient but envious people. And see, we have to start being more obedient. And when I say that, I mean more obedient to our needs and to the things that we need. And then not only us and our selfishness, but the things that we need. And when I say that, I mean that we need as a whole, collectively, that are things that can be passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it all starts with truth and cleaning up the white lies, getting out after and under the false narrative of this Christianity, this white Jesus creation. And again, I will state my disclaimer, these opinions are mine, not of the group as a whole, because I know and I understand how sensitive a subject that religion is for some of us. But I'm asking you tonight to understand this. Why do you need a religion when you are truly spiritually connected? And then we are the ones who are always in the churches, the poorest. Well, maybe not the poorest, but one of the poorest economic groups, but we give our last to these churches and that dry hope, when we should be putting that money into ourselves and real organizations that have our true needs in mind, and who will put some of our dollars back to work in our communities, so we can build businesses and our children can have some real opportunity. They can see some real reason to have inspiration. They can also be inspired by our actions and our, by seeing our ability to create. And if they see us creating opportunity, what do you think they'll create? Children emulate what they see. And in order for us to be righteous, we have to resonate a light that is worth emulating. And see, that's the thing about these religions. These religions get a hold of people with good minds, good hearts, and good spirits and warp them into a one-sided, self-righteous way of thinking. And that is partially what has happened in our communities. And in any given black community, there are more churches than businesses. I'm going to say that again, because in any given black community, yeah, there are more churches than there is businesses and good employment opportunities. And these are things that connected to these source, to connect us and make us a source so that we can be responsible to those behind us and make them a viable source as well. They need to see that being done. They need to see that being built. They need to know that that's possible. And I've said this before, we have got to learn how to connect and give our children the ability to tap into their true selves, tap into their real spiritual selves. And part of that is being supportive of one another. Part of that is working with one another, growing and building with one another. How's your spirit going to grow if you're not around other spirits that's on that same growth pattern? See, because each and every willing is going to teach each and every other spirit that is around something. And that's why I say we all have to tap into that, because we're all leaders. All of us have a skill set. All of us have a spiritual capability. When put together, will make us one powerful being. And that comes from just connecting spiritually in a true spirit of unity, and then connecting with the right intentions. And those intentions should always be about those who are behind you and having them not suffer the way we are. And part of that is disconnecting and reconnecting to who we are in our true self, in our true spirit, in our true element. And I keep saying this, let me go on and throw it in. We need each other out here. And it's time for us to reconnect ourselves and truly tap into the righteous side of yourself. Like I said earlier, we all know right from wrong. We don't need a religion to control us nor tell us when something is right or when something is wrong. We already know that. We already sense that in our spirit before we even do a act that is right or wrong. Our spirit will tell us that gut feeling that we call it will tell us when something that we are about to encroach upon is the right thing to do. And a lot of us in our younger days, especially in our foolish days, have done unwise acts just because we don't think consequence. You know, but there comes a time when we should think consequence. And then not only should we think consequence, we should also think accountability ourselves. Always think about and consider self-accountability, because we are accountable as well. When we know better, we have to, it's our responsibility to pass it on. You know, and I say it's important that we give our youth especially this knowledge, is because we need to give them the truth before this white world starts giving it its white lies and its white religion. And honestly, like I say, I think that our unity would also build our spirituality. In that unity, we're building family. We're doing the right thing. We're helping. Then we are, look, by really disconnecting and reconnecting, and like I always have been saying, in the midst of this madness, we can create our own new normals, because that is something that is inevitable. There is going to come a time when new normals we're not going to have a choice except for get with a new normal or suffer in the process of what you're going through. I keep saying that we need each other, and we are really truly about to embark upon a day where we're going to really need each other out here in real time. It's going to come a day when you're going to see somebody look like you. You're going to take off running towards them, hoping and praying that they are like-minded like you. Trust and believe. And willing to help. Trust and believe. It's going to come that day where we are going to have to truly lean on each other. And it's not that religion, that white Jesus. I just don't understand why we still do it. Why our common sense hasn't kicked in yet when it comes to that. You know. When it comes to that whole get up now, you know, and on that, I'm going to take up, see, I've been talking almost an hour now, so let me take a quick break, throw in a real quick break here. Anybody who may be listening online, and I mean, if you agree, fine. If you disagree, fine. I don't have, you know, any real horses in the race. You know, I'm just concerned about my people, and this is true that we should know. And like I say, there are certain things, and I'm going to get off into that too. once I come back from this break, but and I'll save that for after this break. But anybody that is listening and would like to jump in, like I say, to agree, disagree, or whatever the case may be, I'm going to still have love for you, because we got to learn how to still love one another and appreciate one another through the disagreements as well. You know, that's been part of the problem. And like I say, I'll get off into that. But the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr., and we'll be right back after this quick break.
But don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Do you feel that your message, apparent message of love that you brought back from Islam is the real reason they're after you, because you're not hating as hard as they want you to?
Well, I never did hate anybody hard, but I do know that when I wrote that letter saying that they were white people in Mecca, it shook up a lot of Muslims, because most of the Muslims who follow Mr. Muhammad absolutely believe that it was impossible, physically impossible, I should say divinely impossible, for a white person to go to Mecca. And my trip there shattered that image or that misconcept.
Anyone call you directly, Malcolm?
Oh, I've been receiving calls ever since I left the Black Muslim Movement.
And what sort of calls, Malcolm? You're disenchanted in view of the fact that these men who were your brothers are making threats against your life?
No, because actually it's not their fault. Most of them, now Joseph and the officials, they have a knowledge of what it's all about. But the rank-and-file Muslim brother does not know what it's all about. They are out of religious sincerity. They think that they are doing the will of Allah by protecting a man who I myself taught them was divine. So I don't in any way fault them. But those who are over them and give the orders, and actually the ultimate order comes from Elijah Muhammad himself. As long as I represented the Black Muslim movement as an example of morality, unity, and militancy, as long as I could do that, I represented it. It was when I realized that it could not be represented as that, that I came on and started working among the non-Muslim Negroes, as I announced in January, and I had no intention, or rather March, and I had no intention of ever even speaking on this. Had they left me alone, you still wouldn't know what really took place.
Why are they threatening your life?
Well, primarily because they're afraid that I will tell the real reason that they've been, that I'm out of the Black Muslim movement, which I never told. I kept to myself. But the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of 8 children by 6 different teenage girls, six different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary. The one who first made me aware of this was Wallace Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad's son. And I had stated in a newspaper article about an effort to take my life back in January, and at that time the Muslims denied it. In fact, they tried to make it appear to my brother that I was insane. But on a program in Chicago called Hotline, that's moderated by Wesley South, John Ali, the national secretary, admitted, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of these days last week, that they absolutely were going to kill me.
What steps would you take to protect yourself from this threat?
I take no steps. I have a rifle. If anybody comes to my house without a good reason, I intend to try and use it. And that's all.
Right now?
No, I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago. And I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. And tonight I've been talking about just religion and its divisiveness. And I played that last clip really because it contained the, you know, just the divisiveness that religions can cause, the separatism within itself that some religions can cause. And then why I say two religions are truly not for the people, because religions really don't allow you to be opinionated. And then if you ask questions, you're outcast, you're exiled, you know, you're no longer welcome, or you're not normal, you're different. You no longer are going along to get along, so you are, they become less inclusive of you, you know, and that's why I say we have to tap back into our true spiritual selves, that part of yourself where if you even think about doing wrong, your conscience already is alerting you and taking you through the dynamics of the consequences. You know, and that's why I say we all have done things in life where we suffer consequences, you know, for doing them, you know, because we all know, and even as a child, as we are doing something that we know we have no business doing, and we do it anyway, we know that there is going to be a consequence for that action, you know. And that's why I say I don't just really blame the people in the church. And then, too, the people are the church. Wherever the people are, the church can be. And see, that's why I say we need to start bringing the truth of the matter. And I blame a lot of these preachers for not teaching the truth of the matter and the true non-existence of the Jesus myth and the ability to still have us believe in it and bow down to a white graven image. And we should all know by now that it's Caesar Bajer, like I said earlier in the show, who was highly looked upon within their community. So they used him as the template to trick the world into thinking that they were us. and they're nowhere close to being us. They don't have the compassion, the ability to atone. They just don't possess any of the characteristics to be of a righteous creator. And they had to make one to resemble them so that they could do their devilment here on the ground. Because that's who's in control here on the ground, the devil, and that would be them. Mm-hmm. Those with those rotten hearts, and you can't distinguish nowadays, and I call them Trumpers, that have replaced the Confederate flags with the American flags. And see, that's another thing, how they use their religion and go out and do and commit terrorist acts and do it under the name of their so-called religions. And that's why I say it's time for us to let them have a white Jesus, because that's for them. That shit ain't never been for us. And like I say, my opinion, and I established this at the beginning of the show, I do believe in a creator, most high, but this myth with the white Jesus was all, like I say, about a story, creating a story behind the mythology of the picture and the lie of the picture. And they just took, like they always do, take some shit. They take money, wealth, all that. They take stories too and twist them around that have the whole world thinking they are somebody they're not even close to being, because they have never gotten close to being righteous nor just. Now, like I say, don't get me wrong, I know that there are those who will put their life on the line, because look, if you standing up for what's right and putting aside all that bullshit, whitewashing and white lies and all that other nonsense that we've been given and taught, yeah, if you're willing to give up your privilege to fight with us, yeah, you really are committed. Because when you commit or lock up, link up with us, especially on this struggle tip as one of them, yeah, you become an even bigger target than one of us. Because you're a true danger. You can, that's like the worst thing, their biggest fear, because you can sneak in and get in to places our ears can't sneak in and get into. And see, that's why I say this whole goddamn America and this white Jesus that they pushed on everybody, like I say, that they don't even try to follow, how you gonna whoop the shit out of people for 400 years, separate families, rape women, and just do all the shit they did, claim yourself, we the chosen ones. I don't understand how that shit's supposed to work. And then you got them dumbasses that have been taught that. Yeah. Who have been taught that, because for that behavior and for that nonsense to still exist to this day, yeah, that's not something that, you know, you go to sleep one night and you wake up the next morning, you'd be like, you know what, I think I'm just going to start hating fucking black people today and start calling them niggers and being racist. No, you don't just wake up one day. That's something that is a learned, taught, implanted, and if you're around it long enough, you may do it without even consciously knowing that you're doing it. But nonetheless, so, you know, that's why I say, too, with this whole religion thing, and like I say, it's really just another means to be divisive. And that's why I say we need to just let go of all that we have been taught, given, and had forced upon us in most cases, and just start from scratch. And this I've been saying for the last few weeks too. I don't care who don't like it. I'm really not concerned about nobody but us right now. Nobody but people that look like me. People who have grown up here in this racist ass country under all this whitewash bullshit, who have suffered sometimes unknowingly, but definitely since day one. So I'm not really concerned about nobody that don't look like me. I'm concerned about my beautiful black queens. I'm concerned about my beautiful young princesses and princes, because these are the lives that I see being gunned down on the TV screens. These are the lives that I read about being terrorized and brutalized. When I open up my Yahoo News or Facebook or whatever, and that's why I try to stay away from, I've been really staying away from Facebook more and more, because that just really is another source of that negativity. And that source and constant video and audio proof that we are nothing. We are worthless. And like I say, everything that's created in this country is done for a reason, and it all stems from their character, their way of life. And that way of life truly stems from what and how they worship. And it's evident that they don't. And it's evident, well, I'm not going to say that. It's evident that they do. And what else is evident is that it's not to the same deity and creator that we submit to. And like I said earlier in the show, there's devilment here on this land, and we all know how that got here. We all know why that exists. We all know who's responsible for that. You know, it's no secret, not only here in America, but globally. You know, and like I say, globally, the religion is Christianity. And like I said earlier in the show, right now, you got the goddamn Pope in Canada trying to explain away why they did indigenous people the way they did. See, right now, Americans is really coming home to roost for white supremacy racism globally is being exposed. It's being brought to the light. They having to answer questions they really don't want to answer. And now they having to do things that they should have already done, which is just a simple, respectful apology and an act of righteousness to atone for whatever it is you've done. And, you know, under that Roman Catholic banner, there's been a lot of dirt. All these priests coming to light that are catching these molestation cases. See? And that's the thing with, you know, arrogance. Because you feel like because you're in control, you can always keep the information suppressed, the lie. I'll say it that way, that you can always keep the lie suppressed. But I learned that as a young man that you can create the lie. And, yeah, you can suppress the lie. But there's going to come a moment when there's going to be a question that needs to be answered that is going to reveal the truth about the lie that you told. It's inevitable. Like my grandmother used to tell me, it's so much easier to remember the truth. And not only that, that's a lesson that I learned. Because I am definitely a different person than I was. I'll just say that. But those are, like I said earlier, you know, when I use the example of, you know, just learning and progressing and, you know, learning how to tie your shoe and the necessity of just having that ability and knowing and, you know, just progressing with age, and as we all should. And then, like I say, now is the time for us to let go of all the bullshit, let go of all the nonsense that we really, like I say, keep going. We the ones that keep it going, because we're the ones that you know, until it come out of the right pair of lips, we're not going to believe it. You know, we are going to continue to participate in it, even if it's to our detriment. Like I said earlier, you know, some of us are so wrapped up and tied up into these churches, we'll give that 10% instead of paying our light bill. And then go to that church and ask them for some help to pay your light bill, and you might have to fill out a credit application. Because that's how some of these churches operate. That's why I say religion, we need to be the religion that we need within our communities. And that religion is, like I say, just love, respect, and appreciation of one another. I think that's the biggest church that we could build, is to rebuild our communities. That way we can truly love, care, and take care of one another. It's time to centralize. Like I keep saying that, you know. And we do. We definitely need to bring our bodies closer together. We need to bring our minds closer together so that we can put our intellect and our creativity to work for us within the communities that we start building, period. And that all comes from within us. And if anybody can do it, we can do it. We've done it not only for this country, this raggedy-ass America that they turn up. We've done this globally. You know, we've just been reluctant to do it for ourselves. And that's why I say, too, it's important for us to reconnect spiritually. That's going to allow us to be unified like we need to be. That's going to allow us to work like a unit. We are strong individuals. Yeah, no doubt. But together, we could be power almighty. We don't even know how powerful we could become if we just allow ourselves to work together, build together, keeping that dollar in the house, in the hood. That way, we can put up a couple of more businesses where we can give our children jobs, opportunity, the ability to support their families, an opportunity to be a possible business owner, business partner, whatever the case may be. We need to give our children that same ability to have aspirations, and not only have them, but reach them, you know, and to be able to be supportive of that, because what we don't support, the white man will take and exploit to his riches, to his financial gain. You know, thing they'll try to, you know, run through you is how spiritual and this and that, and go that route on you, and then convince your child to use his intellect and his creativity to make them millions. And that's why I say we've got to be more supportive. That is the true meaning of religion, and that is the true meaning of worshiping. When we are worshiping and growing within our communities, worshiping and building within our communities, and showing our kids how to be social, how to grow, how to be independent, giving them true life skills, teaching them how to truly submit and connect with the spirit that will truly guide them, that will truly guide us. Because like I say, I'm not really worried about nobody right now except us. So I'm going to get off of here with that. Like I say, I just wanted to jump on here tonight. I've been really thinking about that one for the last few days. So I figured I would talk about it, and I tried to be as partial as I could and not knock anybody, because I don't knock anybody for what they believe. We've been conditioned to that, you know, so I don't blame anybody for that. We all go through that process, you know, and some of us wake up from that white lie, some of us don't. But it's time for those of us who are awake to wake up those of us who are not. That's truly of concern to me, because that's about your spirit and your soul. That's about your ability to truly pass over to the ancestral side. And knowledge is power, and it's key and it's crucial. And like I say, love is given back to those behind us. Love true spirituality is given to those that are not as fortunate as us, maybe don't have the understanding we have now. But those are the seeds, our youth, that we need to be watering, nurturing, and making sure that they're grown properly and well-maintained. And then give them the truth about this world. Give them the truth about everything that's within this world. We owe them that. And we can get them back on track. That way when that stumbling block hits, it's nothing. It's nothing. They sidestep that and it's on to the next one. With that being said, I want to thank all my listeners, as always. And once again, if you'd like to contact the Panther Party, there is a Gmail address, which is thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Again, that's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check us out, subscribe to the Facebook page. It is thepantherparty/thepeoplesparty. Again, thepantherparty/thepeoplesparty. And the chat page is thepantherchat/thepeopleschat. Again, that's pantherchat/thepeopleschat. And once again, I appreciate you all listening. And I hope I didn't offend anybody. I tried to stay in my lane, but just really be truthful about the matter. And if you don't know about the Council of Nicaea, read about the Council of Nicaea and Emperor Constantine and Arius, and just, you know, do a little researching on that. That will definitely open your eyes and maybe change your mind to, you know, what people will do to gain control. Okay, it's Monday. This has been another episode of The Big Picture. I appreciate y'all, like I say. And it's been the Panther Party Radio Network. And like I always say, in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. I'll see y'all the next time around. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dead. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they what about this overcrowded land? How much more will you from me? Can't you stand? Ooh.